Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Welcome to Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. Today with me is actually our very first guest. I can say this, our very first guest on Creating Change. I think he's my very first guest on everything I've ever done. So it's kind of redundant. But with me is Bill O'Hanlon. He is a former psychotherapist, teacher, speaker, author, and most recently, I shouldn't say most recently because I know you've been doing this for a long time, but a singer-songwriter. Bill, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Doug, as usual. It's been too long since we chatted, I always enjoy. We just have a way of interacting. You're a great interviewer. That's part of it. But I'm also a little loquacious, as they say. I've been referred to Al-Anon and on and on and on. I like to talk.
I really enjoy it and really appreciate it. And I know today we're going to talk about transitions, and you've been going through, it's been really amazing to watch you go through this transition. Can you say a little bit to our listeners about, you know, what you've been up to over the last, the last couple of years? You've been slowly making this transition.
Yeah, I was inspired by the Beatles when they came out, and I was like, oh, this is so great. And I picked up the guitar, and I've been writing songs since I was a teenager, probably about 14. I wrote my first song, the first serious one, about 16. And over the years, I've done that. And in my dotage here, as I've gotten older and I've gotten more time and more money and freedom, I really felt this urge to come up to be a professional songwriter, not just an amateur one who does it at home and plays it for his friends. And his friends say, wow, that's really great. You wrote that? No, I really want to be a professional songwriter. And it's really been a challenge. It's been a great deal of fun, really hard, and a big challenge to be a beginner again in a new field, because I've been a beginner in fields before. You and I have talked about some of those fields that I've sort of gone into not knowing what I was doing, not being very good at it, and then actually succeeding despite the odds in some of those careers.
So, yeah, I mean, like, and I encourage people, if you haven't listened to previous episodes with Bill, we have plenty of them. Just go and search through. You can search through Empower Radio and search for Bill O'Hanlon, and you'll hear lots of great stuff. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you was about what it's been like for you I guess the first question actually is this. Was there a moment where you just said to yourself, I don't want to do these other things. I really want to go after this, you know, I really want to go after singing. And what did that moment, if there was, what did that moment look like?
Yeah. So first, let me clarify. I don't think I'm that great a singer. I'm an okay singer. I'm a pretty good singer, but
songwriter.
I want to be a songwriter. Yeah. I don't want to be an artist. And there's a reason for that. Partly I'll explain. Yeah. This is sort of a general point, not about me, but a general point, because you and I are talking about how do you know when it's time to make a transition?
Yes.
And how do you let go of the old thing and make a successful transition to the new thing? And many people have gone through those things in their lives, in their careers, in their relationships, in their job positions, in their location. Maybe they want to move to a different place in the world. So for me, the first sign is you start to lose your mojo, your energy for the last thing. It's like you used to really like it, and even if you're great at it, I'm still a really good speaker, and I just do not want to travel around the world speaking. Right. I did it 30 plus years, and I got a little tired of it. And my psychiatrist partner has jokingly diagnosed me with post-travel stress disorder because I travel so much and I just don't want to do it. And I started to lose my energy. It was like, I just don't want to get on another plane. I don't want to leave home. I love my home and I love being here and I love my life, but I just don't want to do that anymore. So your energy starts to fade from the one thing and starts to move to another. And you find yourself, you know, I find myself playing music for several hours a day. And it's like, oh, that's where the energy is going. And so I think that part of it is you just sort of know. And then there was a certain point, you and I have talked about this in other conversations, that I actually had the privilege of being able to. I had enough money and enough time, and I never had that in my life before. I made a lot of money sometimes in my careers, but I always spent way too much and was irresponsible with it. And All of a sudden, I found a way to do something that I really loved and that I made a lot of money and that didn't take so much time. And so I found my time, energy, my attention, my time, and my energy going, and my money, because I was spending some money to learn it and master this new thing, going towards songwriting. So I think that, you know, it was about 2.5 years ago when I started to feel the transition. About 2 years ago, I started to say no to the things that I used to really love and that made me a boatload of money. I gave up something this last year that brought in a couple hundred thousand last year. And I just said, I'm not doing it anymore. And, you know, it's a little weird to say no to a couple hundred thousand dollars in your life. And it's something that I'm good at. But I just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do this other thing. And if I spend all my time doing the thing I used to do, I'm not going to have the time or the energy or the attention to put on this new thing. And I'm not going to do it well. So
I'm really curious about, I'll share with you and listeners, and I have nowhere near the level of what, you know, you have decades of experience and decades of reputation, you know, as building up as a psychotherapist, as a speaker, as you said, you know, people have looked to you to write, you know, with help with writing books. And I'll tell you that I recently, the last year or so, I completely stopped doing therapy entirely. And I get more calls now.
It's like the universe is testing your resolve. They're saying, really, Doug, you know, you can make good money. There's people like you and they think you're good at it. And you to do it. Are you sure of this new direction? Or are you going to whip out on us? I felt that definitely. People really want me to do the old thing. And what I did was I said, I don't want to do it anymore. And I said this to my partner. She said, well, what would it take to get you to do it? I said, I don't want to do it anymore. Speaking and traveling. And she goes, well, you know, what would it take to get you out the door? And I named an outrageous fee. And she goes, okay, well, set that as your fee. I said, well, no one will pay that. She said, well, it'll be the same result, but you may be wrong. And lo and behold, it was a really weird thing. Within 2 weeks of setting that, I mean, I doubled my fee. Wow. And within 2 weeks, I got a call and said, we want to hire you. And I said, well, you know, my fee's pretty high. I don't know if you're going to be able to. Well, send us the details. I sent them to you. They go, okay, fine. And I checked to my partner. I said, I wanted to say on the phone, are you guys crazy? What? You can't pay that much for me. That's just insane. And I just raised that fee. Luckily, it's only happened twice more. And I would told her I was thinking of raising it again because I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it anymore.
And, you know, I think it takes a lot of courage to do what you've done, because you reached in some ways, you know, I don't want to say the pinnacle, but I mean,
near
the pinnacle or the pinnacle of a, you know, like I said, of decades of a profession. And then to, you know, I almost think of it like it would be, it's like when Michael Jordan, left the NBA or something like that, except that you're much better at songwriting than Michael Jordan was at baseball. But I just want to add that in. But can you say a little bit of, like, what was that experience like? To go back to sort of beginner to in some ways yeah. like beginner.
It was hard, actually, you know, and I knew it would be. And, you know, there's this place, and you did it with your practice, where you have to let go of one trapeze bar and reach for another. And I was like, well, you know, I think I'm pretty good at this thing. I'd written about 60 songs over the 30 or 40 years I've been writing them. So not a lot, but, you know, some. And I thought there were about 10 or 12 that should be on the radio. They were good enough. As soon as I started to get professional feedback, they said, no, these aren't anywhere close. And I was like, really? Not anywhere close. And they go, no, you know, they're not. And it was humbling. And I knew, you know, because I'd been a speaker and I'd been an author, and I didn't know anything about those two things. Or as therapist, I suppose, but I just didn't know anything about those two other careers. And I didn't really get formal education. I got a little, you know, coaching and mentoring over the years, but it's just hard to be a beginner and be bad at it, you know, not be great at it and be awkward at it and struggle with it. And because when you have mastery at something, you get a lot of kudos for it and, you know, a lot of financial reward if you're good at doing the business part of it. And so it was a challenge to be a beginner again. But I just knew in my mind I'd been a beginner at those other things and I'd succeeded at them. And, you know, that's the other thing. I've referred people to you for coaching of various kinds, you know, career podcast coaching and other kind of coaching, author coaching. And I knew I can speed up my learning curve if I get coaching by people who know how to do it. And that's the other thing, not coaching from anybody, somebody who's doing it and has succeeded at it. I think to be a beginner and also to find someone who can coach you honestly, kindly, but tough, I think, and say you need to do this and you're doing this wrong and here's some feedback. That was invaluable for me. So I already knew that because I'd coach people about how to be an author, how to be a speaker, how to be a psychotherapist. And so don't try and reinvent the wheel or do it all on your own in a vacuum. Or again, play it to people who love you. Play, you know, do your thing in front of people who love you. And they go, oh, that's great. I love your book. And, you know, it's like, then I see their book and I go, that book's not going to be published. You can self-publish it, but you won't be able to get a publisher to it. And they go, what? And I go, it's not good enough. Here's how to fix it. And it's the same thing with songwriting. I got really good feedback. Plus, I just immersed myself. I read like 50 memoirs and biographies about music. I did online courses. I did live courses. And I just knew, immerse yourself in this and know that you don't know what you don't know, as they say. So,
well, I think, you know, and I think, again, one of the things that I really give you credit for is that you have been able to make these transitions like that and are willing to learn. Because as you were saying, like you learned how to create online programs before, you know, you made that transition speaking to online. You really, you know, you got really, really good at that. That kind of gave you the freedom by getting really good at that. That kind of gave you the freedom to do this. I think.
I'm just going to say something, and that is I learned by just kind of stumbling around in those previous careers as a therapist and a speaker and an author and then an online course creator and online marketer. You and I have talked about that a fair amount. To what some of the principles are of success. I mean, again, you know, you apprentice yourself to someone who's really good and has done it, not someone who theoretically knows how to do it. But the other thing is you make relationships. You know, you and I, you reached out to me, I don't know how many years?
About 7 or 8 years ago.
And we just clicked, you know, and I said yes to whatever your request was for an interview. And we got on, we just had such a great time. And then you interviewed me, maybe it was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, you said, you know, you've been so generous with your time, you know, and anything I can do for you. I said, yes, I'm looking for relationships in the songwriting area. And you gave me a connection. And it was like, Doug, thank you. You were the first one who gave me a connection to someone I didn't seek out on my own. And it really moved me forward in a particular way. So you make relationships. And I knew, okay, you got to make relationships and you got to be, how do you do that? You give before you get. I didn't ask for anything. I said, hey, here's some of my books and here's some of my stuff. And, you know, I like what you're doing. I'm impressed with it. And I made a connection with that person and we had a really nice connection. So far, it hasn't led to anything surprising or great, but that just gave me the courage to go out and do other connections. And put out the request, you know, hey, if you know anybody, and I got about 6 or 7 people in my network, because I had a pretty big network, that referred me to people. And, you know, again, every one of them moved me forward and taught me something about songwriting and the music business and things like that.
You bring up a really good point that I hadn't even really thought about that much, which is that when you make a transition, it's not only about letting go of the old and then you've got to embrace new skills, but you're really in a lot of ways, you may be developing a new peer group, a new community.
And
that is also kind of that can be exciting, but also scary. I would love to hear, because I actually don't know all the details. I know that you've gone to Nashville. Can you share a little bit of your story about like?
Yeah, what I found was that it seems like the head of the center of country music, but it's really called Music City. It's the center for lots of different music. It's center for a lot of, EDM, electronic dance music and rock music and alternative and indie rock and indie artists in Nashville. It's just a music city. And so people said, you got to be there. I went to LA. I went to Nashville. I didn't go to New York yet, but that's another center. But LA for pop music and Nashville for almost every other kind of music. So they just said, you got to be there. And I rented a place this last year, just a few months ago, so I could be down there part time. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, most of the time. And but I just went and I made some relationships. And when I did, you and I have talked about this, I could see songwriters were hurting because of streaming. They used to make more money with radio and with CD sales or album sales. And now with streaming, they're making very little money. And so I said, well, I know how to make money online. I know how to, if you I went to your songwriting workshop live, you ought to put this online. So I just offered to help the best songwriters in Nashville. And now I'm friends with two of them, top number one songwriters. And to get beyond that velvet rope in the Studio 54 of songwriting is really hard. People, you know, because everyone wants to get with the stars and the people who know a lot. But I count these people among my friends, and they say, whatever I can do for you, Bill, please let me know. And I go, well, at a certain point, I'm going to ask a favor for some introductions, but not till my songs are good enough. And I'm going to ask you to listen to them and tell me when they get there. And I'm getting very, very close. So that's why I moved down to Nashville part time. And it's been amazing. The musicians in Nashville are so stunningly good that, you know, I play guitar and I play pretty well, and I play piano and I play all right, and I sing and I sing all right, but it makes me want to cut off my fingers. They're so good. You know, there's an old Love Me Spoonful song, you know, they all play guitar twice as better than I will. And it is true. There are such great musicians down there, but here's the thing. They're really generous people, and really, once you get to know them and they don't think you're going to just take, you're going to give and take. It's really amazing. And I've gotten so much better at songwriting over the last few years. Heights that I never even imagined I could get to. I know how to write a commercial song, and I'm getting there. I went from no's to maybes, and I'm starting to get a few yes nibbles. So it's really fun.
Well,
so
when you sent me today, if it's okay, we're actually going to close out with one of your songs, Dreams Come True. But when you sent me the new songs you've been working on, it was, I mean, I liked your other music, but I could tell it was like a quantum leap, you know, just from my own meager understanding. I was like, wow, these are really professional. I'm curious, you know, you've been for so many years, you know, you've been speaking, you've been the performer. What is that experience like to be kind of behind the scenes and watch someone else perform? Is it as rewarding? Is it a different experience?
It's a different experience, but I like it in a certain way, because those people specialize in performing. And right. I decided I'm in my 60s. I only have a few decades left on the planet, and I cannot get great at performing and songwriting and, you know, the business side of being an artist. And plus, I don't want to tour. So I thought, let those people that have such a passion for performing and who are so good at it, they're great singers, they're great performers, let them do that. And I kind of like the behind the scenes stuff, because, again, you know, my time is so valuable to me. I was able to free it up. And being an artist, you got to tour around, you got to be constantly promoting. I'm like, I want to be behind the scenes guy. And I'm just going to work on being the best songwriter that I can be. And they can be the best artists, and other people can be the best business people about it. So that is, it's actually quite satisfying. It's, I don't know, I guess it's sort of like writing a book and having someone else read it, you know, for the audio version. It's pretty cool. I get those audiobooks and I'm like, wow, that is really great. I couldn't have read it like that. I've read a couple of my books and I'm not as expressive as they were. That's great. I love that. So it's cool to hear somebody else sing my song that has a really great voice, and musicians play it that are really great musicians. I still play out and I play, you know, I play songwriters showcases.
Can you actually say a little bit about the song that we're going to hear, the Dreams Come True? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
So it's called Dreams Come True. And I thought, I knew you would like that, Doug, because it's right down your alley, of course. Absolutely. That's your kind of philosophy. Don't forget your dreams and dream them hard enough. And I had one of my mentors, the guy who had 14 number ones and, you know, 40 top 20 hits. He said, if you can't think of what else the song is about, it's always a love song, because that's a universal theme. So I was writing a song about dreams come through, and I go, oh, make it a love song, you know? And so I threw a few lines in there. I also wrote a version for the Olympics because someone was asking for a song for the Winter Olympics, and I wrote it and it didn't get through. But so I have a different version of it. But this one's the love version, and it's about really dreaming which I did a lot as a kid. I still do as an adult, I guess, but I did a whole lot. I was a Walter Mitty type and always dreaming of the lives that I would live. So I just put that in a song, and I knew that would hook you in because it's the philosophy you and I have, is make sure you have a good dream and then work your buns off to make it happen.
Yeah, I was always one of those kids too. I was never paying attention to. I always thinking about something else.
Yeah, the future, dreaming of the future,
and dreaming of the future.
Yeah. I was definitely that kid. I was a spacey kid, and I was living in my head and all this stuff. And weirdly, I took a bunch of classes on songwriting. One of the classes I took, it was called Writing to Tracks. And what does tracks mean? Someone else creates the bed. They create the guitar, the piano and drums and bass. And then you write a song on top of it. And I wrote this song on top of a track, which I'd never done. It was like, that was so cool. I didn't have to come up with all the original stuff. And you can't copyright chords and you can't copyright bass. So the song is mine, even though it was inspired by somebody else's initial idea. So it was a kind of a cool collaboration.
That is really, really cool. And I just think that, the other piece sort of as we wrap up here that I think is really interesting too is like when you look, obviously you've got a lot to look forward to, but when you look back, do you feel like each step of the way is kind of preparing you for the next transition?
I do. I have this weird philosophy, and that is, I think everything that's happened was meant to be, and everything that's about to happen is totally open to new possibilities and my influence. It's a really weird fatalistic, totally open and optimistic point of view. But yeah, I think everything was preparing me for this, because in those other careers, I went into them not knowing, and then I learned. And so I learned how to learn, and I learned how to succeed at something that was very unlikely, like being an author and getting on Oprah, very unlikely. Mm. And I did it. And I wrote 35 books, and being a speaker that makes thousands of dollars a day and travels all around the world, very unlikely, especially for me, since I was a shy guy when I started. And then being, succeeding in internet marketing, where I was like, wow, and doing courses on the internet. I didn't know anything about it. I was an older person, didn't have the technical knowledge, and wasn't a digital native. So I succeeded at all those things. And it gives me a great psychotic optimism that I can succeed at this very, very challenging thing of being commercial pro songwriter. So yeah, I think it was all preparation for that. Learning how to learn, learning how to make relationships, learning how to not know and give up your old strategies to move on to something else, and knowing when it's time for a change.
And I know someone who talks about possibility a lot, so it might be
like, I'm the possibility guy, that's for sure.
My guest today has been Bill O'Hanlon. We're going to send people to BillO'Hanlon.com. Is that the best place for them to go?
Yeah, that's a good place. You can get connected with me, and I'm going to have an album coming out. Though I said I don't want to be an artist, I've gone to Nashville and I've recorded an album of my more personal songs and more relationship-oriented songs. And so I will let you know if you get on the mailing list when that'll be coming out, and you can hear a little of it as Doug's counts us out here with the song.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bill. Always a pleasure. Okay. And we're going to count out here with Dreams Come True by Bill O'Hanlon.
Dream them hard enough. come true. If you dream them hard enough, when I found you.